Here's the Chicago offense.
Matt Forte, Tulane University.
Touchdown, Bears! A dramatic catch by Matt Forte.
Matt Forte.
Forte, 50-yard run for a touchdown.
You know, just watching Matt Forte on film, watch him here. He can make those jump cuts. I mean, he can plant that left foot and then jump way over to the right and then plant the right foot and go upfield again.
10-year NFL veteran.
Mike Martz. Mike, we talk with Matt Forte once a week.
Oh, my guy. I love Matt. I just love Matt.
Two-time Pro Bowl selection.
Hey, Matt, I saw that this year the Bears have four dudes with 600 receiving yards. Okay? That's the first time that has happened, with four members of one Bears offense having 600 receiving yards or more since
2014.
And who were the dudes? Who were the four dudes on your team? You were one of them, Matt. Who were the
others? I would say me.
Yes.
Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall,
yes,
and Martellus Bennett.
Right. You're right.
Matt's top 10, though. Second leading rusher in the NFL, does everything for us.
Yep.
He's one of the best players in the league.
Underrated, but I still be scoring Matt Forte. Matt Forte with Spiegel and Holmes.
I think we're on record of how important Matt is.
On 670 The Score.
Matt Forte going to join us here on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Matt Forte joining us here on The Score. What's up, Matt?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, man. Well, all things are good. We appreciate you, and we want to think about the year and talk about the year in full that we've experienced together, but it just came up, so we got to ask. Last time these two teams played in the playoffs, Matt, is 2011, the NFC Championship game. And so that was your third time playing them. I don't think it was the third time in 6 weeks like this matchup will be, which is crazy. But what is it like facing a team for the third time, especially when they're the hated rival? What is that like?
Yeah, it's one of those things where, it was a different little case when we played back in 2010, 2011. We had a chance to take care of business at the end of the season and didn't do so, and that came back to bite us. But in this case, the Bears obviously won the last matchup at home, didn't win up there. But I think, you know, it's an advantage, and it's a good thing that they have a home game, you know, being the Saturday, that's the first playoff game. They got the home field advantage, and weather won't really be an issue, but the feeling of it is the preparation is key. You know, you faced these guys twice already. This is the third time facing them. There's not anything new or, you know, I think when it comes to the playoffs, coaches may be a little scared to put in new wrinkles here and there, but you kind of know what you're going to get. And when it comes down to it, it's going to come down to, the preparation before the game and during the game, being able to execute and cut down on silly things like pre-snap penalties, which have kind of been a thorn in our heel, you know, since the beginning of the season. Cut down on stuff like that and then be excellent out there like they have been, trying to take the ball away. And then I think the key, which is always going to be one of my keys to the game, is going to be running the football again.
Yeah, let's talk about that part, because the Packers' run defense is not good. And we've seen the Bears' offense over the last couple of weeks. We saw it be really spectacular against San Francisco with a couple mistakes here or there. And then this past week, it took a little while for it to get going. It feels like to me that the idea should be they should be playing to the strength of their run game. How do you think Ben will emphasize that this week?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, I think it's a mentality. And I think they do have that mentality of, hey, we know how to run the ball. We can run the ball. And to know, not trying to be one of the coaches or one of the guys who's going to say or rely on past performances or try to rely on some of the past mistakes that they've made, where, okay, just because, you know, they gave up 200 plus yards to Derrick Henry doesn't mean every team's going to, you know, roll out of bed and make that happen. But in the same instance, there you have to look and you see that there's some issues there and some things that can be exploited. And so I think their mentality is going to be coming from Ben that, hey, you know, we got to be able to execute this run game in order to control the clock, keep their offense off the field, but also score points and kind of control the game, being able to control it at a pace that they like to play at.
Yeah, I'm with you, Matt. I mean, they ran for .132 in the game they lost up at Green Bay, and they didn't run it much in the first half. And then on that Saturday night, they ran it for .150. So it's not – so they can do it, and I hope the hell they do. Let's go back to Sunday for a minute. What were your thoughts when you watched that effort by this team as they lost and then backed in later on, thank you to the Commanders? What were your thoughts as you watched that game?
I thought, man, I was watching the game and I was, concerned of on defense. They were just giving up a lot of explosive plays, especially they were playing a lot of man-to-man, too. And I just couldn't understand why they, you know, had Amon-Ra St. Brown manned up. And he was, you know, kind of just torching the guys, no matter who lined up on them. And that is a concern that's going into, obviously, this playoff game where, you know, it's like, are we going to play man-to-man on their receivers? Are we going to mix it up? Are we going to try to – how are we going to pressure the quarterback so that they don't have time to just sit back there and throw dots like Jared Goff did and not start slow, you know, where you're down 16-0 and have to fight and tooth and nail to come back and then not be able to get keep the ball or keep a drive to where you can go down and kick a field goal and kind of give it up and leave the ball in the hands of the other team. So – that's one of the concerns that I have going into this game. But at the same time, I think after the last 2 weeks, understanding that this team knows that they're always in the game, it seems to always come down to the last play almost. But for them to focus, I guess, to learn on the past 2 weeks, you know, what have we done wrong? What have we not taken advantage of to be able to execute out there on the field? And knowing that this is win or go home, knowing that you can't make mistakes out there that we'll say, oh, we'll get it next time. It just doesn't work that way.
So a common refrain that I hear, Matt, is that, and I heard it in the hallway yesterday, I read it in a column over the weekend, that maybe that was a good thing because it's a bit of a wake-up call. Coach lights them up afterwards. They all know that they can't bring a performance like that. Is that even possible that, you know, you can come off a down effort like that and get smacked into a better effort the next week?
Yeah, it's something that I think more on the outside looking in, people take that as kind of a silver lining. I'm one of the believers, as when I played as well, as, hey, there's in this game, there's no moral victories. There's no, hey, we did play well, you know, almost, and we almost got, like, there's none of that goes on. It's like, look, we got to get the job done. So there's always good within the bad. And if you can look through that and be honest and hold everybody accountable. I already know their standard is high, the way that Ben, runs this team, and how Caleb, as a leader on the offense, how he, you know, holds everybody accountable, holds himself accountable. I think that they do take the good from the last 2 weeks and then put and try to implement that this weekend.
Matt Forte joining us here on the Spiegel and Holmes Show. Matt, what's the difference, if there is one, between what a regular season game and maybe even a rivalry game feels like versus what a playoff game feels like?
It's almost unexplainable, man, when it comes to the atmosphere of the playoffs in Chicago in particular. I was a part of the playoff, you know, run back in 2010, 2011, and then it becomes special because you never know when that's going to happen again. For me, 10-year career, that was the only time that I got to do it. And it's this feeling that's in the air, especially on game day, you wake up and it's just something that is special about it. And when you step out on that field and you lace them up, you know, it's like, it's go time. And so it's an odd feeling. It's a feeling of, the engine is running hot, you know, as soon as you wake up. And for me, personally, it's nothing like it. And I don't know, my words will not do it justice. So I'll just, you know, try to keep it at that.
Well, you're really good at kind of harnessing your emotions as a player. Not everyone is. Like, it can be overwhelming sometimes. And I think we saw some of that in the last Bears and Packers game where the guys are maybe a little bit too amped. If someone were to ask you, how do I get myself ready for this? How do I handle my emotions? What remedies would you give them to try and get themselves into the right space?
I'd say, because, you know, I tell my kids this, I tell young athletes I come into contact with too, like, the game is the biggest part. The mental part of the game is the biggest part of the game. So mentally prepare yourself and try to find balance within that. the balance between, hey, this is a big game, but it's not the only thing in the world that's going on right now. But at the same time, hey, you lose, you go home. You know, so how do you find that balance? Tell them to find that balance. And then also I would say mentally, man, focus on your job. Focus on exactly what you need to do every single play, every down, and do that. Win your battle, win your matchup, every single one. And then you can worry about the larger picture of, you know, for me personally as a running back, like, I'm doing my job, but then, okay, somebody's losing a block on the backside. Let me go help him, or, you know, let me get an extra chip, even though I wasn't asked to do that, to help the lineman or you know, help secure protection. You know, talking with the quarterback, I see, you know, corner blitz has been coming in on third downs. You know, just talking and communicating in a way where you are focusing on what you have to do and making sure you win your particular matchup.
Man, that's good stuff. I mean, it's funny. You as a teammate, the way you're describing that stuff there, taking care of your stuff first, but then you're in the mindset where you can help and you can be supportive, and that's what it takes in football, right? Ben Johnson said that they made 6 mental errors in the first 11 plays, Matt, on Sunday. Mm. And that's like, whew, that made an impact to hear that. So that's a lot of dudes not in the right headspace. That would piss off a coach, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Mental errors is one of the things that, I mean, we practice so much. You walk through, you watch film, and mental errors is one of the things that you have really no space for and no tolerance for. 6 mental errors within the first 11 plays, you know, somebody's not lined up right, somebody's making the wrong read, somebody's blocking the wrong person or not getting to the right, you know, area in the right timing. And the beautiful thing about football is that there's so many people on the field at once. And so everything has to be on point at the same time. I mean, yeah, you could break tackles and make special things happen. You know, that's what the great players do. But for the most part, everybody's got to be on one accord. And, you know, unity is the best thing as far as a team, both on and off the field. Those teams that have unity, those are the teams that you can see it displays itself out there on the field. So, man, the mental aspect and also the unity aspect of being on the same page really accounts for a lot that is the success part of what goes on the field.
It's a really interesting week here, Matt, because we got the bad taste of that performance Sunday. We've got the incredible anticipation for the game on Saturday. But, oh, by the way, we have a regular season that is now finished, and we can look at what has been built here. What do you think has been built here in this year that is sustainable?
More than anything, I'd say confidence, a culture, and some respect. I think for a long time, people say, oh, it's the same old Bears, and it's not. And that comes from the mentality that has been instilled in this team, that comes from the confidence that they've gained from winning. It comes from the belief in the system, the belief in the coach, and what he's displaying out there and what he's coaching his players to do and that coaching staff. And then it comes from showing at the end of the day. It comes from showing it. And you go out there, respect is never given. You got to go out there and earn it. And I think that is some major takeaways that they can have and continue to build on as a foundation of this Bears organization going forward.
Even though inside of a game you're pretty locked in, and you're telling us about the experience of playing in the playoffs and how it's like, hey, nothing's guaranteed. Now that you've had some space from it, is there a moment that you remember that you'll always keep with you from the playoff experience?
Hmm.
Yeah, man, I'm locked in right now. Hey, the feeling of this week and leading up, I would say it was all about the preparation going into that week. And then something that will always stay with me, unfortunately, is the feeling after that game. I think I had a decent game. It was like 160 all-purpose yards. I had like 10-plus catches, something like that, in the game, trying to, you know, make an impact where I could. And you still, whenever you don't come out on top, that feeling of what else could I have done, you know, in the situation. So those are the things that you don't want to leave the game with. and have those memories, you know, you want to come out on top. But more than anything, I would say is just the it was Soldier Field was rocking, man. It was an amazing atmosphere to be a part of.
Matt, you had 17 carries for 70 yards, right?
And then what, 10 catches for 90-something yards?
He had 15 targets, 10 receptions for 90 yards. I mean, I think you did everything you could have possibly done, Matt.
Yeah, but when you look at it, though, I go back and watch every point of the film, and, like, there's moments where, man, you maybe have broken a tackle and then you trip coming out of it.
Yeah.
Okay, what if I keep my feet? That's a touchdown. You know, like, those are the things that you harp on every single moment of those games where you look at, even if it was a good performance, it wasn't good enough.
See, that's what makes somebody great.
100%.
And then you got to live with it, though, when you're done. You got to live with those feelings when 100%. You're done.
100%. Matt, as always, we appreciate the perspective and the education. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all, man. It's going to be a good one.